Hey, this is David Kaufman here, the voice of Jimmy Olsen from Superman the Animated Series, and you are listening to Superman the Animated Podcast.
And welcome to Superman the Animated Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan McKenzie. In this podcast, I'm currently talking about Superman the Animated Series, which ran for three seasons comprising of 54 episodes. And currently, we're talking about the third and final season. For this episode, I'm joined by the host of Superman's Other Pal, Mr. Gary Rowland. Gary, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me over. I really appreciate it.
I'm so excited to have you here. As we mentioned earlier, prior to pressing record, I was trying to find someone for this episode that had a good understanding of the character of Jimmy Olsen. And luckily enough, I came across your podcast. So can you tell me where your love for the character came from?
It all started when somebody told me about one of the plots of what eventually became my favorite issue, which is issue 100. Where Jimmy Olsen gets married. That's the premise of the story. The story is that Jimmy Olsen gets married. And the premise of the story was Jimmy Olsen is getting married to Lucy Lane, which is Lois Lane's sister.
Yep.
And he's in the process of getting married, and then Ms. Jitzelplick, who is Mr. Mitzelpitalik's girlfriend, yep, who has always had a thing for Jimmy, finds out that he's getting married. He puts a curse on Jimmy so that whenever Jimmy and Lucy kiss, Superman turns into a giant mole. And that's the issue. That's the story. I heard that and was just like, this is absolutely insane. So then I started looking into like Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, just like all the issues. And they are just chock full of just the weirdest, most bizarre stories. And they outline, you know, because it's the 50s and 60s and early 70s. So Jimmy Olsen ran 163 issues from 1954 to, I think it was 1973. And actually, Jimmy Olsen actually predates the Silver Age by like 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And it also became a test ground. I don't know if it was a test ground for artists or a test ground for story ideas, but like there was an issue where he had super speed, I think about 2 months before the first Barry Allen Flash was released.
Okay.
And he was also known as Elongated Lad. That was a recurring theme throughout the series, was that he drank this potion and became like basically, well, no, it was Elastic Lad, and it was the precursor of the Elongated Man. So they tried, and in fact, much later on, when Jack Kirby took over the book in the late 60s, Jimmy Olsen became the place where the new gods were introduced. So actually, Darkseid was first introduced in, I think it was Jimmy Olsen number 138.
Actually, I think I remember when I was looking into Darkseid, I think I remember reading that his first appearance was in Jimmy Olsen. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. because because it was Jack Kirby, and when Jack Kirby came to DC, they were like, you can have any book you want. And he was like, well, what is your worst performing book? Because I don't want to put anybody out of a job.
Okay.
And so they were like, well, I guess it would be Jimmy Olsen. He's like, all right, I'll take Jimmy Olsen. So, so as a result of that, he changed the direction of the whole series into a more sort of serious comic book thing. Because up until that point, like, it was very much it's a lot very lighthearted, a lot of gags, a lot of contemporary things at a time. Like, you know, he was a spy, he had a musical career, you know, always for like an issue or two. They just sort of like, well, what are kids into these days? And then let's design a story around that.
Well, that's interesting. Like I said, I obviously know about the comic book and I know that it existed, but like I said, I was listening to one of your podcasts earlier today, just the three different storylines that you think you and your daughter spoke about. I just thought they were just funny and the imagination that they used. I think one of them was, I think Jimmy had some bracelets around his, and Superman dressed up as another character. He looked like Clark Kent, but he had a mustache or something along those lines. Sounded really, really funny and just a happy-go-fun comic book.
Yeah, it did not take itself very seriously at all. Not at all. Even though they had and they were written by, Otto Bender, who was one of the big, names at the time. Kurt Swan was the artist of it. So those were the guys who did stuff. There's a there's another cover that was done by Neil Adams. He got talent. It wasn't just sort of a, even though it wasn't, it eventually became a very low performing comic. At one point it was the biggest comic in DC's universe.
And that's just it. And looking back now, would you like to see a new revamped? Would you like to see him come out again and make a new version of Superman's power?
Well, they did actually not too long ago. Okay. I think it was 2019. They came out with a miniseries of both Lois Lane and Superman and Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. They did not call, you see, originally Lois Lane, which was another sort of spin-off.
Yeah.
Both of which came out of the TV series. The reason why Jimmy Olsen became a thing was because of Jack Larson portraying Jimmy Olsen in the TV series. Because up until that point, Jimmy Olsen existed in the comic book, but he was just, hey, Jimmy, why don't you fetch me some coffee? Sure thing, boss. And then he goes off and comes back. He didn't really have a personality, any real relationship to Superman. But because of the Jack Larson character in the TV series in the 50s, he became super popular. And so they thought that they would give him a series, and likewise with Lois Lane. But the series was called Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane. And it is crazy problematic. it is basically almost the premise of the entire series is, I need to get Superman to marry me.
Oh, okay. I think I need to find this just like I can have a read and just see how fun it is.
Some of them are great. Like there was one where she was like, they made her black for an episode. Like there was, and then also they brought back Lana Lang.
Okay.
And then created this like love triangle between Lois, Lana, and Clark and Superman.
Well, you're going back to the George Reeves Superman TV show. And I remember, in an interview that Jack Larson had, they were talking about once that series was complete, and obviously, with the tragedy of George Reeves' death, I was talking about having a Jimmy Olsen series. And I thought that would have been interesting to see.
That was floated around. But then it would come back to, well, who's going to play Superman?
Yeah, exactly. So with all that said, obviously, I love your passion for Jimmy Olsen. So with all that in mind, are you still a fan of the Man of Steel?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know that Batman takes a lot of the frame, he gets a lot of the glory these days.
Yeah.
Superman, everybody's like, they all acknowledge that he's a, he's obviously a more powerful character than Batman. Regardless, like if the two of them were in a fight face to face, man to man, just like just sort of basic things, it would just be Superman puts his fist through Batman's head.
Yeah.
But I know that Batman gets a lot of, like, everybody loves Batman, but I've never been as big a fan as Batman because I don't really think that we need to turn to billionaires to solve all our problems. And really, if you look at what happens, like the Gotham that he came in with versus the Gotham that he exists in the current time, it's not all that better.
No, I love your take on that. Like, and the thing I love about superheroes is just like football teams or baseball teams, everyone follows a team, and I'm on Superman's team, and yourself, you're on Jimmy Olsen's team. So everyone's got a character that they support and they follow, and right. And that's what just makes this the comic book industry just a fabulous place, because there's always someone to follow.
Exactly, and like I think that Superman has like some really good villains, although one of my favorites, of course, being Bizarro. A lot of the same reasons why I like Jimmy Olsen, is just because they're so just odd, and like he's also one of my favorites, and he's a Superman villain. So although like I said, villain is not necessarily the word that I would use to describe Bizarro.
He's almost like an anti-hero, especially in the animated series. He's almost classified as an anti-hero, I would think.
Well, he's like a, basically he's just like a kid trying to find his way through the world.
Yeah, and like I love him in this series. And everyone even talks about like the best take on Bizarro other than the comics was actually in the Superboy series. If everyone looks at like, the true vision of, like, I know he was kind of in the Smallville TV show, but that was a different incarnation of Bizarro. They try to bring him in a little bit in Lois and Clark, New Adventures of Superman, but that wasn't really Bizarro. It was more of a clone. So, but yeah, I like you. I like Bizarro as a character. I think it's just fun to watch him, and he just tries so hard, and unfortunately, it just goes the wrong way.
It just doesn't work out for him. Like, I think Bizarro would make a great, he should be in one of the movies. Yeah. But that's me.
Yeah, I agree. So talking about your podcast earlier, so what got you into podcasting and what made you decide to make your own podcast?
I remember, I was into podcasting in, 2008.
Okay.
Because, I was into podcasts because, a guy that I listened to on the radio got kicked off the radio and decided to do podcasts. And, then he would have on guests who had podcasts who then told me about, who then, would direct me to their podcast, which would find other podcasts. And then eventually, I was listening to 30 of them. And so I've been in and around podcasts for a lot of years. And eventually I decided, and I already knew, and I kind of knew how to work with audio. So, but I didn't make my own podcast until I had something to talk about, or a direction or something, because I could, there are lots of podcasts where, at least at the time, there were lots of podcasts where it was a bunch of middle-aged white guys talking about stuff.
Yep.
And I felt like that, or that there were plenty of podcasts covering we talk about pop culture. Until I felt like I had an original take or an original idea for a podcast, why not? I wouldn't do it. So eventually I looked at this, and then I realized, that I had all the Jimmy Olsons on PDF files. So I So I went and started and thought, well, you know, this would also be a good opportunity to do something with my daughter. And so, you know, I asked her about it. She agreed. And together we started doing it. And then it became a little bit harder. You know, we were releasing pretty straight, like every week. And then it became like every 2 weeks and then longer and longer. And then, you know, my daughter's in college. So
yeah,
it's harder to do. So, but I, you know, I have like 97 episodes and we go through them cover to cover, not only the stories, but also a lot of the scans actually kept the advertisements and like some of the other ads and other PSAs that were in the issue. So like we discussed that stuff as well.
Yeah, and like I said, listen to one of the episodes today. I got that as well. Like I said, you discussed all the parts of the comic, but also you talked about all the advertising, which it's fun listening to, especially with, you know, stuff they're selling back in the 60s. I think it's something was like $37 back then, but, you know, in today's currency, you know, you can just imagine that's a couple of $100 worth of money, I would imagine.
Exactly. Like, you know, like they had advertisements for G.I. Joe, like the original 16-inch G.I. Joe, not the, you know, Snake Eyes and, you know, from the 80s. Or like a lot of ads for model kits.
Okay. Yeah. I think you mentioned for your love of model cars that you used to have. And I think growing up, my dad was very much into model planes and the stuff like that, but it's not really there anymore. Like I know you can go and buy it, but you don't see many people getting excited about it.
No. And you certainly don't see ads in comic books about it.
No. So going back, like, is it something you'd love to get back into? Would you like to, you know, restart, you know, finish off your, you know, the 160 odd, comic books of Jimmy Olsen and finish off the podcast? Or is it, you know, just something you would think about doing in the future? Or
I have a couple of episodes actually that we recorded that I haven't released yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I would like to go back and, you know, I would like to start it up again with my daughter, but I just don't know if I'm going to have the time. It might happen.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, you know, that happened with the pandemic was everybody realized how much better, like how relatively simple it was to use Zoom, you know, much like we're using it right now.
Yep.
So like she has a computer at school. It's possible. So, you know, I'm toying around with the idea, but we haven't done anything, definitely.
Yeah, and I definitely when I started this podcast, I pretty much did the first two seasons a lot on my own, and I found doing it on my own was very tough. Like I always got the right answer, which was good because no one disagreed with me, but I always found it's always good to, you know, speak to yourself today and to other guests, and everyone's got their own point of view, and it's just that, you know, you can have that back and forward communication. And yeah, I've definitely find having someone else on the podcast is just so much more enjoyable than doing it on my own. So I totally understand, like, you know, waiting, you know, for your daughter or waiting for that right time to come back on board.
Right. Yeah. The idea of, hey, why don't I just talk for a while? That's not, nobody wants that.
So obviously we're talking about the animated Superman, the animated series. So did you watch this growing up, or did you watch the series later on, or are you new to the series?
I watched a little bit of the series. I did watch the Max Fleischer ones from the 30s.
Yep.
And you know, there was Superman, but like, yeah, at the time, like, there was so much additional focus on Batman.
Yep.
Like, you know, there was Batman Beyond and Batman the Animated Series and Batman Brave and the Bold and the Batman, and, you know, and it was just, and but Superman really wasn't getting a lot of, you know, but I didn't know to what degree Jimmy Olsen was involved. So, they weren't talking about it very much. So, you know, I figured that was, I watched it a little, but I didn't watch it all that much.
That's all good. Like I was living in Australia, we didn't really get it much when it first aired back in, you know, in the mid 90s, and I didn't really come across it until the early 2000s when they started releasing all the series on DVD over here. So I didn't actually pick it up until like 2006, 2007 when they released all those you know, DC, you know, properties along with Superman Returns. So, yeah, I was a bit of a late start myself. So, yeah. All right. So, last question before we get stuck into the episode. So, I'm pretty confident I know what your answer is going to be. So, what's your favorite incarnation of Jimmy Olsen's, from the comics, TV shows, or movies?
Well, I'd have to say the comics.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, there's just so much there.
Yeah.
And in the movies and in the TV show, he's just sort of Batman. He's sort of Superman's second banana. You know, he's just sort of like, you know, is there to shout, "Look out, Superman," and maybe to be rescued if Superman's tired of rescuing Lois. you know, they somebody else. Hey, let's give him somebody else to rescue. So, so he's kind of a definitely a more supporting character, but I definitely appreciate the comic book because it just got, you know, there's just so much more there.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And like I said, I pretty much knew what you were going to say, but yeah, still wanted to hear you say it, but nah, awesome. All right, so let's get into this week's episode of Superman the Animated Series, titled Superman's Power. So the episode aired on the 20th of February, 1999, was directed by Kazumi Fukushima. I apologize if I mispronounced the wording there, and written by Robert Goodman. So returning voice actors for this episode include Tim Daly as Superman Clark Kent, Dana Delaney as Lois Lane, David Kaufman as Jimmy Olsen, Malcolm McDowell as Metallo, Lauren Tom as Angela Chen, John Mariano, however, this time voices a different character, as the Short Order cook, and Larry Cedar also returns as a different character, this time as the restaurant owner. So obviously, as I mentioned earlier, I sought you out because you love Jimmy Olsen. Do you like how David Kaufman portrays Jimmy Olsen in the series?
He's fine. there's not a lot to give him, you know, they only give him so much, but he did an admirable job. Also, wasn't this also one of the producers on this was Paul Dini, right?
Yeah.
Do you know about his stuff with ElfQuest?
No. Could you elaborate?
In the 80s he did a very popular comic book series, independent comic book series, with his wife Wendy, I think it's okay, his wife, called ElfQuest. And okay, I think that's where he sort of became popular.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to look into that. It's probably where he started off all these ideas of going into the series.
Yeah, absolutely.
So some new voice actors I'm introducing this week. So Dinah Sherman as Tina, Dave Walsh as Captain Croissant, which I thought was pretty interesting, is the naming of the character. Charles Rocket as the used car salesman, and Melissa Disney as the college girl. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode, Superman's Power. So just to start it off, what do you think of the theme song for the animated series?
It's suitably, it's good. It's suitably heroic, you know, and they have all the, you know, the nice little cuts together of all the great stuff that Superman does.
I think when I talk to a lot of people about this, the one thing that brings them back to is nostalgia as well, is that there's not many TV shows nowadays that have a proper, you know, start to a TV show. They just have the title and just have, you know, and just go on.
Right.
Everyone loves to have that, you know, that the theme song and, you know, some snippets from the episodes here and there. So it brings back a lot of nostalgia for a lot of people.
Yeah. That's always good. Like a good beginning that actually, you know, lets you know, okay, this is something, you know, I got to settle in. Whereas now, you know, we're always skipping the intros because we're, you know, watching them 8 and 9 in a row.
And I think back then, you know, back in the day, I mean, if you hear this going on in the background, you know, even if you're doing something else straight away, you know, you hear that and you just know exactly what it is. And I have to get to the lounge room, or I have to listen to it. So whereas nowadays they just go straight into the episode, and you don't even know what's on TV in the background.
Right.
All right, so the episode starts off at the Daily Planet, and we're introduced to Tina. So the new intern, Lois is showing her the ropes, but I don't think she's really much of a fan of her straight up. What do you think?
No, she's not. She's like, you know, but then again, Lois isn't a very, as you know, it's not really a very sociable person.
Yeah. and that's definitely showcased in this early on in the episode. As we mentioned, off to a good start with Tina. So a nice little snippet here. Now when Lois tells Tina, anyone ever tell you you're a noisy one? To which Tina replies, I like metal. Now, I actually watched this episode a couple of times, and I didn't pick this up the first time around, but I like the little Easter egg here that comes on later in the episode. Did you catch that at the start of the episode?
Yeah.
that was really well done. So Jimmy's off to the side, you know, as he normally does, admiring all the interns. Clark, you know, walks up to him, tries to pump him up. I felt a bit sorry for Jimmy here, you know, basically said, why don't you ask her out? And he goes, I did twice.
Well, you know, yeah, that's sort of the thing about, you know, Jimmy a lot of times is he's sort of a lovable loser. He tries, everybody wants it, you know, and everybody's kind of rooting for him, but he doesn't, you know, and in the comic books, you know, he finds Lucy, but they have a terrible relationship, which I won't go into. But it seems that, you know, if you're from another planet, you love Jimmy. Women from other planets seems to have a real thing for Jimmy, but like women on Earth, not as much.
I think I heard that in one of your episodes today. I think your daughter said he's 0 from 200 on Earth, but any alien, yep, they're all over him.
Right.
So Jimmy runs off to the big screen. I just love the size of this big screen TV back in the 90s in the workplace. Like, how awesome would this have been just to just drop what you're doing, go and watch this big, I thought that was, you know, just awesome.
Yeah.
So they can see on the TV, there's a car chase going on. We see Angela Chen. She's in a helicopter reporting. So as, you know, as the show dictates, Superman to the rescue. Did you like this little scene here, the little rescue from Superman and how it all played out?
Yeah. You know, I also liked how they showed, you know, basically how Angela Chen kind of caused the problem of some of the problems.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely likes getting in the road, and she like it's almost brings back a couple episodes of, I think, Lois and Clark, and you know, a couple other TV shows where it's almost like the reporter wants to make the news so they can obviously, you know, get higher up in the ratings and in the like. And yeah, she did a good job of getting in the road here, and like any other Superman story, there's another episode or a movie where Superman's rescuing a helicopter.
Right.
Just going
they
back
just,
to
they just fall out of the sky in Metropolis.
Yeah, this brings me straight back to Superman the movie. So when, you know, when they're all on the ground, you know, I like Superman's response to Angela when, you know, she asks him a question and he basically said, you don't want to know. But then obviously, right. You know, she went straight to Jimmy. And I thought this was pretty mean of what she did to Jimmy here. What do you think?
Yeah, it's incredibly mean. But at the same time, you know, I know that he keeps trying to get Angela Chen to retract the story and she won't do it. The problem is that he works for a major news organization and has, you know, I'm sure at times been influential in what gets put and reported on. He probably could have gotten a story out there that said that Angela Chen's, you know, thing was Angela Chen's piece was misrepresented it.
Actually, that's I never actually thought about it that way. You're exactly right. And in some cases, the Daily Planet's probably bigger than her news network anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Did not even click to even think about that. So Jimmy actually takes us on a little bit. Like initially he's a bit, you know, feeling bummed that, you know, what have I done? Even though technically he's done nothing wrong. But he actually starts to use this to his advantage, don't you think?
Well, it starts to happen to him. Yeah. Like he like stuff happens to him, but he wasn't, you know, like he wasn't looking necessarily to get a free dinner or like a donut or something, but he just starts happening to him. And, you know, who is he to turn down people's good fortune and good nature?
No, exactly. Like you probably go with it for a little bit, and then as we all know with this episode, it just happened to turn south, unfortunately, for the guy. So now everyone is aware of Jimmy Olsen. You know, everyone, Superman's pal. You know, How'd you find the next couple of scenes with everyone harassing him? Do you think he actually took it on board, or do you think he's just starting to get annoyed with it at the end?
Oh, I think he gets annoyed with it. He has to. Because it becomes a thing where it's like, you know, I'll see an interview with like an actor that worked next to somebody who's incredibly famous. And, you know, the question will be, well, what's it like to work with, you know, like Robert De Niro? And really what that question says is, I want to talk to Robert De Niro.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. Yeah, so like as we mentioned, everywhere Jimmy goes, everyone knows who he is. You know, he can't go into a restaurant. He can't, you know, walk out of a restaurant and have, you know, there's girls chasing him down the street. And, you know, probably before this episode started, he probably wanted that attention. He probably wanted people to look at him that way. But obviously, this is the wrong attention that he was after.
But eventually, he starts feeling like Robin.
Yeah, that's very true. So as we mentioned about the girls chasing him down the street, he just happens to be rescued by Tina. When I originally watched this episode, I did not see this twist coming. The only reason I knew something was coming was because, you know, I knew the character's name was mentioned in the, you know, the voice actor was coming. So I knew Mattella was going to rock up eventually in this episode. But did you see the twist coming?
Did not.
No, it's...
Well, I didn't see... I don't think I saw... Or had forgotten about the mention of Metallo. So I just sort of let it all sort of unfold as I watched it.
It was just one of those, episodes that it's almost like they wanted to do a Jimmy Olsen, centric episode. And they didn't know how to go about it. So they come up with like three different ideas and they just plonked it into one.
Right.
Which I still enjoyed. I still love the fact it flowed. I think it still flowed fairly well the way that they represented it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it still turned into a decent Superman story. They just threw in this subplot of, you know, here's Jimmy Olsen, and you know, he's garnered a little bit of fame from, you know, being Superman's pal. Although they weren't, you know, at that point they weren't like the way that they eventually became.
No, exactly. So we end up, we're in the junkyard scene. Jimmy gets locked up in a car and obviously gets stuck into the car crusher. Very, for some reason, it reminded me of Superman 3. you know, and obviously he's being crushed. But as that's going on, Tina makes a phone call back to, you know, the Daily Planet and, you know, convinces Lois that, you know, oh, we're being captured, man. You know, Jimmy had been captured. I thought it was a pretty interesting scene here where Superman flew off. You know, Lois is in Perry's office. Perry doesn't talk at all in this episode. I just love the fact that, you know, we just see him. He's been animated, but he doesn't talk. Superman flies off. You know, the skirt flies up. You know, Lois mentions, you know, I've got to start wearing pants. But one thing was interesting, though. This is one of the first episodes I can remember. And I know it's happened previously, but she's not in her normal purple outfit. Normally she's wearing purple, you know, a purple top with a white skirt. This episode she's got a red top on with a black skirt. So yeah, very interesting in this episode.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, they had to have something. I guess the other skirt was not as easily amenable to flying up as Superman flew back.
I reckon the colorist just couldn't find the purple today. Like he found enough to do her eyes, and that's pretty much it.
Like they ran out of purple.
Yep, so Superman to the rescue again. So Tina loves telling everyone in this episode that she loves metal. Like even when Jimmy, you know, runs into her again, she says it again. But I like how Jimmy gets the upper hand here.
Yeah, you know, he eventually decides he, I guess she's not that good at fighting. I mean, she's okay, but, you know, it's never really been established that she's some kind of kung fu expert. But yes. So Jimmy manages to get the upper hand and push her into a closet.
Yeah, I had a bit of a chuckle, actually, when he was pushing her into the closet. So I used the chair to push her, but, like, you know, you still have to push her, like, about 5 meters.
Right.
But she wasn't on a roller or anything like it. You know, I don't know how he could. That's a lot of, that's actually a lot of effort to do what he did.
Right. And they didn't do what would have been the obvious thing was that he pushed her
in the chair.
And then he winds up sitting in the chair, and then she pushes him in the closet. Like, she just keeps going, back, oh, back, no, ow, oh, stop it, no.
Yeah, I think they missed a step there. I think when the animators did that, I think that looking back now, they probably think we probably should have put Tina in the chair so Jimmy could push her, because Jimmy's a strong little guy, but I don't think he's got enough power to do what he did.
No, maybe not.
So we went into the fight scene. Like a lot of the episodes in this series, you see Metallo and Superman very similar, you know, with obviously the kryptonite chest and weak in Superman, but. I thought it was a good fight scene here.
Metallo, he's always been an odd character because, like, you know, Metallo had to, like, rip his shirt off to expose his kryptonite self. Mm. And, you know, in most other cases, kryptonite just has to be in Superman's general vicinity for him to, you know, like, it doesn't have to be revealed unless it's some kind of lead shirt, which I don't think it was.
No, I think you're 100% right, Gary. Every different incarnation of the series, it's different, like you said. He's definitely not lead plate on Metallo's body. Normally within his in vicinity of kryptonite, obviously, you know, he gets weaker. And the fact that this time around, they've obviously just gone, no, we're going to wait until he showcases it before he can actually feel the effects. And
right.
But I like the continuity. That's one thing I love about this any TV series. I love how they talk about continuity, and you know, there's been like fights between these two in the past. But normally, Superman's
Metallo's a pretty classic Superman villain.
And Malcolm McDowell voices the character quite well. I don't think he had much to do in this episode. At the start, I thought he was talking a little bit like Yoda. When Jimmy was introduced to him, basically saying, you know, why did you bring him? I can't remember how he worded it, but because obviously, you know, he wanted Lois, and Tina said, no, well, this is Superman's power, so Superman to the rescue.
Sure.
So the fight kept going on, but as Superman started to get the upper hand here, I like how Jimmy comes to the rescue at the end. I love the fact that, you know, this is a Jimmy Olsen centric episode. Do you like the way he improvised here at the end here?
Yes. Although there was a pretty big, so Jimmy Olsen uses the magnet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To like pick up Metallo to essentially save Superman. So he picks him up. He gets caught in the magnet, and Metallo's kind of trapped. And then at some point later, he lets go of the magnet. If he had just kept the magnet going, Metallo would have been trapped, and that was that.
I think they just needed to fill out another 5 minutes in the episode. I definitely see your point, and I actually thought about that when I was watching it as well. I'm grateful that you brought it up. A couple of times I thought they already had the upper hand on Metallo. There's a scene there where they almost fist pumped each other, and you know, we've got this. But then Metallo came back, and then right. Then, as we're alluding to before, what Jimmy Olsen's plan was at the end.
Right.
Did you like his little one-liner with, what is this? And he goes, battery acid.
Yes. Although I'm not sure that battery acid works like that.
I don't think so either. Like, kryptonite, I can understand it might have attached that, but the rest of his armor, I'm not sure.
But, like, yeah, I don't know. So if you throw a little battery acid on him from, like, old batteries, which might not be terribly effective acid, suddenly his stuff stops working. That's weird. That's a weird vulnerability.
And I do kind of feel for Metallo, like in every episode that he's come across in the Superman, the animated series, like the first episode I remember is in, he ended up on the bottom of the ocean and he's just walking off. In the next episode he appears in, he ends up in the bottom of a volcano, and you know, all the liquid, the magma obviously surrounds him, and he ends up in rock solid in that. So, and then, you know, in this episode, you know, he's obviously lost his kryptonite, and now but he just keeps coming back.
Right. Well, that's the thing about any major villain is they always manage to figure out a way from certain.
Well, that's just it. And it's also like another, a villain like Bizarro, not Bizarro, Brainiac's another one in this series as well. Like, doesn't matter how many times you kill him off, he'll always be back in another episode. And,
right.
Yeah. And
you have to, like, you know, in order to, like, really kill somebody, you have to, like, have a shot of them, like, going through a wood chipper or something where, like, absolutely no way that they could come back at all. But if you just see somebody, like, falling off a cliff, you're like, all right, well, they're coming back.
And I think we forget that, this was a kids' TV show, so they probably thought, you know, if we did not bring these characters back, at least the kids can go, oh, he didn't die. He's still alive. So maybe that's right. The reason why they did what they did.
Right. Well, also kids aren't necessarily as savvy about, you know, plot conventions.
That's very true. It's funny when you watch something when you're younger, and obviously you watch it now as an adult, and you're actually, you know, you pick up a lot more things than you would have back then.
Right. Yeah. Like, how many times can Lois need to be saved?
That's true.
At some point, doesn't Superman just go, you know what? I'm tired of this. You keep getting yourself into the situation. I'm out.
Oh, it's like in the new Superman and Lois show. They've all got the beeper now. So, like, as we'll find at the end of this episode, of what Superman gives Jimmy. But just before we get to that, what happened to Tina? Like, did they just keep her in the closet?
Yeah, she stays in the closet, I guess.
Yeah.
They should have. They should have had a scene like the obligatory scene where cops are carrying her off in handcuffs.
Yeah, they do this a lot in this series. The bad guy gets called, the bad girl gets caught, but you never know what you never find out what happens to him in the end. Like Metallo is, you know, is he just, you know, is he taken off to the junkyard? Right. No pun intended.
It's like in the very beginning when Superman carries off that truck that's doing the high speed chase. Like, we never see the police pulling up and arresting the guy, so as far as we know, he's just, you know, trapped, he's just sitting on top of a bunch of barrels in his car with no cops around, so theoretically he could just get out of his car and walk away.
I thought that was pretty ingenious, actually. Just find some barrels, put it on top, and then
it was a good idea, but there were no cops You then didn't hear like sirens of the cops pulling in, getting ready to arrest him. So theoretically, you know, there was nobody around. So the guy driving the car could just get out of his car and walk away.
And no, in this series, that's probably what happened, because we'll probably find him later on in another episode stealing something else.
Right.
So a nice little end to the episode here. Very reminiscent of the comics, I would imagine, with Superman handing him a watch.
Yes. Yeah, that watch is a very weird plot device in the series, in the comic book series. Like, whether or not it works and what the actual range is. Like, there are times when it works across time.
Oh wow!
But there are other times. Yeah, there are other times when it doesn't. So what constitutes the actual? But they specifically say it in this: as long as I'm in town. As long as I'm in Metropolis, I'll hear it. So, they set down the logic of that device early on.
I think what I want to do now is actually watch a couple of episodes after this one and actually find out whether it's Jimmy's actually wearing the watch. I want to see if the animators have actually been that clever to do it.
Right.
So that pretty much brings us to the end of this episode. Is there anything else you want to bring up that we missed or?
No, I don't think so. I threw in all the, you know, the kind of weird plot points, like, you know, about him being part of a major news organization and trapping Metallo in a magnet and then letting him go. Go ahead.
No, sorry, continue.
No, but so like other than that, I thought it was a good episode. You know, It features Jimmy Olsen, which is always good in my book.
So continuing on with that, and you mentioned like you enjoyed the episode. So would you recommend this episode to anyone who hasn't watched the series before? Do you think it's a good stepping stone, or do you think it's probably not the first episode I'd bring him into the series?
I don't know. It's probably not the strongest episode of the series. I think they probably could have had more fun with it, but But that's, you know, that is a personal preference. I'm sure that they were trying to, you know, they try to set a tone of reasonable seriousness to the episode. So they didn't, you know, I think they probably felt that, you know, getting too silly with Jimmy Olsen would be too much of a departure from the show.
Yeah, it's probably interesting where they planted this episode in the series. Like, I actually found it to be a very fun episode. Like I said, I watched it a couple of times, enjoyed it both times. I like the fact when they actually, you know, use another character to be like the main plot point of the rather than Superman. I like the fact that Jimmy Olsen was the center of attention. I don't know if I'd recommend this to someone if they're watching it for the first time. But like I said, it was fun to watch. One thing I did find actually on my second rerun, there's a lot of grunting in this episode.
Yeah. I don't think I caught that.
There was just a lot of, so it would have been fun in the recording studio listening to.
Yeah.
And I like the music actually that they, and I'll talk about in trivia in a second, but I like the music actually they played throughout the episode.
Yeah. It's nicely, it's kind of cinematic in its tone.
No, exactly. So I'm like, they obviously would have done this sort of a storyline in the comics. Is it very similar or way different how they, you know, had like a Superman's power storyline in the comics, or is it done on more than one occasion, I would assume, or?
What do you mean?
So, yeah, this is obviously a centric episode of Superman's power, you know, of Jimmy Olsen. So was there like a main comic book that anyone could go to and say, this is what they, or do you think just the ongoing series itself, that's where they basically just got different ideas from?
Yeah, that's what happened. Is like, you know, so the comic book, it was just kind of fantasy of like, what if I was, you know, what, you know, there are all these kids who read these comic books, and what if, you know, what if I was friends with, you know, if I was friends with Superman, what kind of adventures would I want to get into?
Ah, cool. Well, that's what we're going to do now, Gary, just get into a little bit of trivia. So thanks very much to DC Animated Universe Wiki. This is where I get all my trivia from. So this is the final appearance of Metallo in the series. He reappears in the Justice League episode Hereafter and Justice League Unlimited episode Chaos at the Earth's Core. So Jimmy does have a Superman signal watch in the comics, as we discussed earlier. In the Silver Age, it was a gift from Superman. However, in the post-crisis comics, he made it himself rather than Superman giving it to him. Were you aware of that one?
No, I wasn't aware of that. Well, you know, Jimmy's not necessarily known to be a big science guy.
He might have gone to Star Labs, maybe. He might have got, one of the professors over there to help him, like Professor Hamilton, maybe, or...
Well, in the series, in the Silver Age series, he had Professor Potter.
Okay.
There was a rotating... Like he just like early on, they kept going to like different scientists, and it was just like, hey, I've got this thing, you know, you should do a story on it. And then suddenly, somehow without warning, whatever the thing is supposed to do gets done on Jimmy. And then the thing blows up and they can't reverse anything. But then eventually it became just one guy named Professor Potter.
I can just imagine, because I haven't read a lot of the comics, but Jimmy would have been turned into another animal of some description at one point of time, I'm imagining. Has he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was turned into a werewolf. He was turned into a giant turtle lizard. He was, you know, he was just constantly being turned, like, you know, that he got super speed. He became he became Elastic Lad.
Yeah, you're saying that. Yep.
He was just constantly being turned into things.
Oh, poor Jimmy. I understand why you love the character so much. And I'd love to see him portrayed in a lot more live action and animation moving forward. And hopefully in the new animated series that they bring out, hopefully next year, we might see a bigger, more interaction of Jimmy Olsen in that series. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, you know, it would just help if they just decided that they would take just kind of a lighter, not a serious tone, a serious tone, but just not so serious that it would preclude something like a Jimmy Olsen story.
No, exactly. So Superman's Power was a series of Olsen-centric comics during the Silver Age. Several of them featured Olsen's gaining superpowers, as you mentioned before. So Bruce Timm has referred to this episode as, and I actually remember watching this documentary on my the old DVD set. He actually reveres this episode as one of the worst of the series. And most notably, like I said, on the DVD collection, albeit with a quick compliment to David Kaufman on his performance as Jimmy. So I thought that was pretty harsh for this episode.
This is the worst, but yeah, David Kaufman was all right.
Yeah, I remember watching this documentary, and you could just, like I said to you before, I think they try to do so much for this episode, and I could see the love for this episode and what they were trying to do. I think they just tried too much when they could, and but I still enjoyed it. I still had so much fun, and I would go back and watch it again because the 20 minutes just went so fast.
Yeah, it did go very fast, but there was a lot going on in the episode.
Oh, exactly. Like you said, you had the main plot, but like you said, if you actually watch it a couple of times, you'll actually see all those other things happening at once, and that's right. What I like about the series is that yes, it's a kid's show, but it actually makes you think a little bit more as well.
Right.
And last but not least, in the trivia, so the musical score used during Jimmy's montage is reused from the new, and as you mentioned before about Batman, the new Batman Adventures episode Joker's Millions, when the Joker had a similar montage. So there you go. So Gary, so what's next for yourself? We mentioned earlier about maybe, you got a couple of podcasts that you may release in the future, or so what's next for yourself?
Maybe recording a few and, raising children and working. I don't really have anything to plug at this point.
No, that's totally fine.
If you want, there are still 90 some odd episodes of Superman's Other Pals.
Yeah.
Where you can see, not only do you get the, you get to hear things like about, the Beard Band. Who is a group of people who are trying to get beards to become popular again. you get to see how Lucy Lane is like apparently the only stewardess in existence. And why Jimmy decides that he needs to be with Lucy is horrible because she's constantly also running off with millionaires that she meets on the plane. you can see him become a member of the Legion of Superheroes because Elastic Lad is officially one of the Legion of Superheroes. There's just so many stories that we detail. A bunch of Mr. Mix's Piddalick episodes where he has to has to deal with him.
So that's great. So if you haven't heard of Gary's podcast, please go and subscribe. And like I said, I know he hasn't done any episodes recently, but like I said, there's 97 episodes, I think you said, right, there to listen to. So go and have a listen. If you don't know much about the character, trust me, by the end of the series, you'll definitely understand the character a lot more.
Yeah. You get to call, the common themes and the, basically you just sort of get, and you'll get to see the evolution of not only of the characters, but also the advertisements that end up in comic books.
And I love the fact you started from one and just, went in chronological order. Like you listen to a lot of podcasts nowadays and they'll talk about different comic books, but they'll go, left, right, up, down, and just out of order, which is fine. It's perfectly fine. But I just love the fact that you went in chronological order so you can just listen to the growing of the character in the way that they do it.
Yeah, well, that's sort of what it was like. All right, well, we have this list. Let's just go through this list.
No, awesome. So thanks again, Gary, for coming on the podcast. I can't thank you enough for coming. And hopefully we can do this again sometime in the future.
All right. Just let me know.
All right. Thanks, Gary. So for me, you can find the podcast on Twitter at www.twitter.com/supanimatedpod or at the M-word 81. You can find us on Facebook at the M-word 81. You can now find the podcast and other things, Superman, DC, Marvel, Ninja Turtles and Star Wars related on the webpage at www.themword81.com, or you can send us an email at themword81@yahoo.com. So once again, thanks, Gary, for coming on the podcast. Tune in next time. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day and tune in next time for Superman, the Animated Podcast. The new theme music for Superman the Animated Podcast is called Super Epic by Alexander Nakaranda. You can find this at serpentsoundstudios.com and the music is promoted by chozik.com.